Praise the Lord. Let's start, right? I enjoyed the meetings this morning. The selection. The matter that God's selection or election is not revocable. It shows us that we will never lose our salvation. The word is so clear in Romans here. Salvation is fixed. It's not revocable. Not through our works, but through faith. Nobody can boast, oh, God chose me because I'm so good. No, surely not. Surely no one dares to say that. Who amongst us is good? Who amongst of us is righteous? Who of us is understanding? As it was shared, this choosing is according to the pre-knowledge of God. God alone can make this decision, not through works, not because we deserve it. In no matter, we can say that God has chosen us because in any way or some way we are better than others. No, no way. Even today, after we are saved, our flesh is still as bad. That's why we mustn't work according to the flesh or but according to the Spirit. But after being elected, as there were many testimonies this morning, we see then God has to work on us a lot, quite a bit. But not just Him alone. God can't do everything for us. Look, the Lord has died for every man, for every person. But not all person or people are saved. Why not? Because they don't want to. The Lord did not just die for us at the cross. 1 John 2 says, He's not just there for our sins, but for the entire world. How come just we are saved? Because we are obedient. To believe also means to be obedient. Actually, in Hebrews, the word believe is the same as being obedient. Because we are obedient, we take the word of God. It was preached. And we accepted it, but the others don't want to accept it. And so we can see, which is the point right now, which is very important. There are always two sides of truth. God did not create us as robots. No. He created us wonderful. With a free will, with a feeling that we may love Him, but you cannot see love. And He gave us a mind, a will. You have to decide. Even Adam and Eve had to make a decision in the beginning. God spoke the word to them of these two trees. The truth was spoken to them, but Adam and Eve had to choose. You have a choice. We all have a choice. It's important to make the right choice. Daily, we have to choose. This means we people have a responsibility We always want to say, oh, God needs to do it for me. Yes and no. On one hand, yes. But what He needs to do, He already has done and perfected it. But now it's your turn. Yes, the Lord will protect me. But if you live irresponsibly, the Lord cannot save you or protect you. God will protect us. But it depends on if you are willing or not. Paul said in Ephesians 2, not through works. That's just one side. James says, faith without works is dead. So we do need works as well. There are two sides. So who's right? Both are right. Both are right. We are saved, not through works, but through faith. That's the choosing of God. He chose us. But after we have faith, James says, show me your faith without works. I show you my faith through my works. Abraham didn't believe. And then suddenly God put him right into Canaan, the good land. No, God tested him. He had to go on a journey. Faith is like a journey. He had to go through trials. And he even failed. He made mistakes. He lied. Do not think that Abraham was perfect. From Ur in Chaldea, there is no perfect man coming from this place. There's no one perfect there. They're all fallen people. We don't just have to look at Abraham. We can just look at ourselves. Then you'll already understand. There are always two sides. But even Paul, he said in Ephesians 2, not through works, but in Philippians 2, he said, work your own salvation with fear and trembling. What? Paul, are you speaking against yourself? Is Paul right? Or was he wrong in Ephesians and now he has to correct himself? If we do not see this matter, we often think or may think, oh, Paul was wrong. Or earlier what you said, you're wrong and now you're changing your mind. No. The truth always continues onwards. Also in this world, we see everything goes onwards. It continues. It must go, it must continue. There must be increasement, development. Also our human life must grow. There are many changes. It's necessary. And yet, in Philippians 2, Paul said, work your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God in you who works the willing and the doing. So who is it that works in you? We both work. We have to take grace. He gives the grace and we have to take the grace. Right, correct. We do not work with him, cooperate with him. We cannot do anything. We have this responsibility, as it says in Galatians, to freedom. He has set us free and called us. But do not use this freedom for the flesh. How often do we use this freedom to nourish the flesh? We don't want to cooperate with him. Hebrews says, the scribe said, today when you hear his voice. What did he say? God will already do, will do it for you. What does Hebrews say? Chapter 3 and 4, several times. Do not harden your heart. That's a problem. That is a problem. It's not that we haven't heard his voice or didn't understand, but our heart is hardened, unobedient, disobedient. Therefore, it says in Hebrews 4, do not be unobeying. As it said with the people in Israel in the desert, they didn't enter, not because God didn't want. God wanted them to enter the good land. Why did they not go into the to the good land? Wasn't it the will of God? Wasn't it what he proclaimed to them? Yes, but they didn't want. They didn't want it. They didn't want it. Saved from Egypt. All of them were saved from Egypt. But only two entered into the good land. From all of those who came out of Egypt, from this first generation, only two entered into the good land. Similar to the ark. Only eight souls went into the ark. Do you think there were only eight people back in the time of Noah? Surely not. This picture we have to see clearly. Therefore, this word today is very important. Our cooperation with the Lord. God does not force you. God doesn't have to keep repeating. God only had to say once to Adam and Eve, you mustn't eat from this, and this you must eat. And if you eat from this tree, knowledge of good and evil, you will have to die. But if you eat the tree of life, you will receive life. It's so clear, and one time was enough. God did not have to repeat himself. Is the word of the Lord so clear? Yes. But Eve was alone there. Why do you think Eve was alone there? She was curious, what is this other tree? Perhaps she thought, why am I not allowed to eat from this tree? And then the snake came. Has God not said? And then Eve was confused. But do you think it was just the fault of the snake, the serpent? The temptation doesn't come from God. You mustn't blame God for this. His instructions were not clear enough. Should God also have appeared? No, God appeared first to Adam and Eve. He even created them. Same as Bilaam.
Balak.
He bribed him with riches. He should foretell against the people of Israel. Bilaam went to God and asked him, "Should I go?" And God said, "No." And so he said to Balak, "God said no." But Balak tempted him with more money, with more riches. So again he went to God. What does God say for the second time? Go. Do you think that was the will of God? Do you think God wanted him to go? No, what God meant is, you wanted to go, then go. God doesn't need to tell you twice. Once is enough. The second time it shows already that in your heart you're not prepared to obey. So someone needs to say no a second time. How often do the parents have to say no 10 times over and the child still does what it wants? But God doesn't want to tell you 10 times no, 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 no. It doesn't work. It doesn't help. If our God tells us the first time no, it's indefinite. It's final. But if you go a second time and you ask again, then it becomes your problem. And at the end, you might say, "Oh, he did allow it." Learn this. Learn obedience. Let's go to the outline. Our cooperation. Lord, what should I say? This is my experience. If God says no, he only needs to say it once. You may change your mind, but God does not. Why? Because as we are, as James said, we have a double mind. Where in German says left, right, you shake. You can't decide. But why? Because you're unobedient. One time you know what God wants, and then you think, "Oh, but I would like to have this." And then you think, "Oh, maybe it's okay. Maybe it will work out. Maybe I should do this." And then you think, "Oh, but God said this. But I want this." Then you have two souls. So at the end, you don't know how to decide. And even if you're in such a situation, you will always make the wrong decision. And then you think, "Oh, I have peace." But this peace is not of God. Therefore, it says, girding up the loins of our mind. Our mind. our mind. Don't be a person of two souls. To have one mind, on which side is your mind set? You need to be of sound mind, sober. The Lord says in Luke 12, girding of your mind. What does it mean to be girding up the loins? It means to be prepared at all times. You don't need a belt if you in your PJs. Do you have a leather belt for your PJs? Girding is in German the same word as a belt. You're completely comfortable, you're not working in your PJs, everything's loose. Our mind needs to be awake at all times and not sleep. To be aware. The Lord says to be aware and to pray. The enemy doesn't sleep, but we do sleep. We are not prepared. We are not prepared at all times. We're not always actively in our mind on the side of the Lord. You know, during battle, you mustn't sleep. But we have to always be of sound mind and sober. Not be drunk. But at all times be filled with the Spirit and not be drunk with wine. But be full with the Spirit. Buy free the time. Make use of the time. Every opportunity. Be awake. We're guards, guarding, be sober. Often we are not sober. Therefore we can also see in the times of Jesus in the garden, the Lord says, pray. They can't even pray for 1 hour without falling asleep. When the Lord came back, they all had fallen asleep. But if we do other things, we are so awake. We're so of sound mind and so sober. But in the matter of the Lord, in the church life, we're so loose. Everything's allowed. And it's okay. This is fine. That doesn't matter. Who says it doesn't matter? Then you use your own wisdom to solve problems in the church? Is that the way of the Lord? No wonder at the end there's tohu wabohu. No, it's the church of the Lord. Be sober. Zion, we have a king in Zion. You do what the king says. You are not the king. I am not the king. The oldest are not the kings. They are just servants. You are not the one who makes the decision, but the Lord. He's the head above everything, placed by God. Head, not just of a few things, but of everything. So especially the leading ones need to go to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what is your way? And then we have to go into the Word and make sure it's according to the Word. Because if we don't take the written Word and believe in it, how can we still hear His voice if we already do not look after what is written or do not want to comply with what is written? Then we say, oh, it doesn't matter. What does that mean? Who's right, the Word of God or your decision? we are not sober. It is our responsibility. At the end, if there are problems, trouble, who then takes the responsibility? Who carries the responsibility? Who's to blame? God? We have to give our God. Reverence. He says, if I'm the father, where's my honor? Who is looking to my will? And why do you do what you want? And then you pray, Father our, but then we don't give him the honor. What kind of father do we have, or what kind of sons are we? We don't have any respect. We are not sober. Hopefully we're not children anymore. If we are children, then of course the parents need to change the diapers of the babies. But Roland, do we still have to change your diapers? I think not. You just believe, you think not, you believe not. You shouldn't say, I don't believe, like you're not certain. I am sure, I'm certain. You have to carry this responsibility and the right responsibility. It shows we, the believers, the Christians in the church in Zion today, we are so loose, we're not sober, we're not transformed, we don't have the mind of Christ. Even though so often we have used Philippians 2 uses this mind, be in you as it is in Christ. And we don't use this, put our mind on the things above, but we put it on our own wisdom from below. At the end, the demons will use our wisdom for their use. They will abuse it. As Peter, Satan understood to use the fallen mind of Peter to stop Christ of going to Jerusalem. Therefore, often we are the problem of the church. In the last 60 years, I haven't seen that people from outside destroyed the church, but always we ourselves destroyed the church. Didn't Paul say to the elders in Ephesians when he went to Jerusalem and he made a stop? And he called the oldest to him and he warned them. After my departure, amongst you eldest, there will be wolves, tearing wolves, who will tear the sheep and pull the saints to themselves. Do you think problems are coming from the new saints in the church, from the young saints in the church. But much more from the so-called qualified ones. I am responsible for the church. My goodness, where then is the Lord? Who is responsible for the church? Where's the head? Oh, who's the head of everything? You? Who makes the decisions? Yes. Please do not be mad with me or angry, because sometimes I am a bit, how to say, I'm speaking to you with emotions. Because the 60 years experience behind me, I've seen too much. I have no trust in myself, in my flesh. I have no trust in my own wisdom and judgment. Have we not all made enough mistakes? Do you think you are so capable to bring the church onward? Look at the situation. Look at the circumstances. Are you happy? Therefore, I cannot just share teaching. It's not helpful. It's not helping. Perhaps you might even know the Bible better than I do. Very possible. But what use is it? What does it use us? What's it good for to give a good message? Does it help? Perhaps a little. But it will most likely not change the people. It won't make anybody alive to a living stone. No. You understand everything. You just want to understand, but you do not want to obey. You want to have the Holy Spirit for yourself, but you do not want to obey. It's written. It's there to obey, to obedience. The message this morning we heard, it's there to obey. We want to hear, but we don't want to obey. To hear, to listen is easy. To understand is not difficult as well, but to be obedient, to do what we hear. As James said, not just to be listeners, not just to understand. What use is it if I just listen and understand, but I don't obey the word, I don't do the word? At the end, I will be a deceiver. At the beginning, I'll deceive myself. I think, oh, I already know this. That's deceiving yourself. And then, after deception, deceiving myself, I want to teach the other ones. Then I become a Pharisee. We need to be sober. We need to be of sound mind and be careful all times that we will stay with the Lord. Be awake and pray. Be awake and be sober, because the enemy, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion and wants to eat you up. you think you're smarter or wiser than this roaring lion or the snake, the serpent. No, we are not wiser or smarter. Do not think that you are so wise. We need wisdom from above, James said. And therefore you can pray and pray, but if you are shaking one time this, next time like this, today you believe, tomorrow you doubt, then maybe I should do this, and today I'm sure, tomorrow I'm not sure, then at the end you're completely unsure. Then you're driven left and right by the waves from your own thoughts inside of you. So our mind is important to cooperate with the Lord. I pray every day, Lord, renew my mind. How can I grasp you, your speaking, your spirit, so I can see your will, your perfect, completed will, so I can do it. Not just so I recognize it or see it or something or talk to the others about it, speak about it, but to do it. Didn't Romans say we shouldn't become equal with this world, but to be renewed and transformed through the renewing of our mind, so we can receive this good, complete, perfected will of the Father. Do we need to see or realize this will so we can obey it, so we can do it? I often said to the Father, how can I do it if I don't know it? And how should I know it if you don't show it to me? And then the Father will tell me, if I show you, will you do it? Or are you just curious? At the end, you know everything and you're so proud and you think, now I'm qualified to be a teacher for the others. You can solve all problems in the church. No, it's for the transformation, for the salvation of our soul. What the brother said this morning, it's true, it's correct. The salvation of the soul is such a difficult task. Truly. Birth. Ask a wife to have a child in your womb for 9 months. But that's just the beginning. It's only 9 months. But the difficulties and all the difficult situations come after the child is born. Is Vince there? I want to ask Vince. He just had a child. You can't sleep anymore. You get sleepless nights. You have to make so many preparations. You have so many worries. You have to feed. And so on. Do you think the Lord has not a lot of work for you? And the more the child grows, the more problems you get. Because now the child has its own opinion. It's good when they're still babies. But when they become 2 years old, they start walking everywhere where you do not want them to go. they open all drawers. And then when they're 5 years old, there are even more problems. When they are 12 years old, then the problem is even bigger. And then you, as a parent, you're getting headaches. And then they think, do you not think that they think when they're at university they're free? Oh, you think you're free once they're at university? No, even more complicated and difficult things will come in. Therefore, I want to tell all parents, do not spoil your children. When they're not trained, when they're young, you will have even more problems once they're big, once they're grown. Do you think spiritual children are different? Not the young ones who just came into the church life give the big problems. In 2010, I held a conference in Bangkok, and the topic was the secret of the seven stars in the book of Revelation. And who are the stars, Roland? Are those angels from the heaven? No, the oldest, the leading brothers. Really? Yes, truly. They are often a mystery, right? Yes. All big problems are coming from the leading ones. So do you want to be a leading brother? Rather be a serving one as a slave. Even the word leading one already makes you to a higher person. At the end, your nose will be so high up, you can't even smell anymore because it's so high up. You want to have authority. You want to make all decisions. The saints must all come to you to ask. That doesn't mean we do not have to have fellowship. No, of course we do need fellowship. Even this serving amongst the brothers or amongst the saints is important. But if they have become crooked, then it turns into a big problem. And they're not the oldest anymore, but they're wolves. They're ripping wolves. For many years, I told the brothers in Europe, being an old eldest is not a position. Haven't you heard that so many times, Roland? Very often. But it seems that it didn't go through with everyone, because we have a disease. We have a disease, all of us. At the times of Paul, it was the same. We mustn't be like this. Therefore, our cooperation is very, very important. Very, very important. The mind of Jesus, to not be proud. the Lord made himself to a slave, even though he was God and is God. You cannot imagine this. And we, who we are nothing, we want to be leading ones. We are twisted. Our mind is twisted. Therefore, Peter emphasizes, make yourself lower in front of the Lord. Humble yourself in front of the Lord. If you're not humble in front of the Lord, you cannot receive anything from him. If you have two souls, James tells us, do not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Do you think the Lord doesn't want to give us everything, what we need? But if you're double-minded, then the Lord will not give us. So to be obedient is an exercise. To obey is an exercise. As obedient children, children of obedience. If God is our Father, then we as children have to be obedient children. I want to tell the children, and all sons and daughters and children, if you haven't learned to obey your parents, I do not think that you can obey God. As John said, if you do not love the brother which you see, how can you love God who you do not see? So if you do not obey your parents at home and you always quarrel and fight with them, say, no, no, I can make my own decisions. I know what I'm doing. You don't have to say anything to me. You don't need to tell me what I need to do. If you have this kind of attitude, I'm certain your attitude will be the same with the Heavenly Father. Our Father in the heavens. If He, the Father, who calls you, who is holy, so we need to be holy in all our walks, the same as the Father. As obedient children. But no one can force you or us. Especially if the children have grown up. Allah, can you still force your children to anything? Not anymore. Really? Yes, really. It's over. I'm a grandfather already. I can't even force my grandchildren. And you think the great-grandfather can do that? And do you think the Heavenly Father can force us? Therefore, we need... If the Father loves us and we are obedient children, then praise the Lord for... for his chastening. I still need chastening today. Do you not need it? I still need chastening from my Heavenly Father today, up to this day, even today. So this is this cooperation that God wants. But especially in our age, O Lord, what God, should God do? Force us? If you do not want, and then the Father will say, you have the freedom, do what you want to do. As back in the Garden Eden, did God came to Eve and say, stop Eve, stop Eve. No, God doesn't do that. Also today in your life, you will not do that. Say, stop, don't do that. And you say, oh, but my flesh would like to do it. No. God is not such a father. But you know, when the Lord comes back, there will be a judgment. The chastening today is for life. But the judgment later will be difficult without grace or mercy. It will be like or as through fire. God will make it with all of us, surely. And will not say, Roland, you're unobedient, you lost your salvation. I will cast you away. You are not saved anymore. You're not my son anymore, okay? It doesn't matter if he's a good, a bad one. He's still the son. But the Lord has a way. And therefore, there is a... a reward. But there's also a way for those who are not obedient now. But it will be as through fire. They will have to go through a type of judgment. A difficult chastening without grace, without mercy, but through righteousness, so that we all may reach this goal. But this goal, where you're going, you will, on the second path, only reach it after the thousand-year kingdom, the millennial kingdom. So that's why second point that we is that we put our hope completely onto His grace. What's your hope in your daily life? To have a good job, to earn good money, to have a good life, to have everything you need, to live without problems, without difficulties, without suffering. Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Without the pandemic. Everything is smooth and wonderful, and you surf into the heaven, the kingdom of heavens. I wish it would be that easy. But no. The only way, as it was mentioned before, is through many trials. Through many trials. But you, always have to set your goal onto the grace. Grace is given to you, not that you have a good life, but to train you, as Titus 2 says, not to love this world, not to love you, to chase after your flesh. We have to our focus. We have to be in focus. Same word in German as in English, focus. We have to have our focus, God, in front of our eyes all the time. Otherwise you get distracted. If you don't have your focus in front of your eyes, you will land in a random location. You will completely be distracted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of your eyes. Oh, you want to have, you desire certain things, you want to chase after other things. You want to satisfy your desires. You are not prepared to leave your soul life. There's so many distractions today, that's why we have to place our hope completely unto the Lord. If you don't have a complete focus, especially when you drive the car in the evening, you have to be very focused. You have to have 7 eyes. Your 2 eyes, your 2 lights in the front, your lights in the back. You have to have your eyes everywhere if you drive in the evening. Otherwise, you will have an accident or something will happen. Today, we live at midnight or shortly before midnight. It's dark in this world. What is your focus? What do you want to achieve? Christ in us, the hope of glory. And what's this glory? Image of the Father, to be like the Father is, right? Do you not want to be your first fruit? Do you not want to be spiritually mature? But then you need to be prepared that the Father and the Lord can put His new name on your head. The Lord always has a new name. How many names does the Lord have? The Lord says, I will write my new name on your forehead. New name? I thought your name is Jesus. I know you as the Messiah. Jesus Christ, that's your name. Do you know not the name Jesus? Martin? What's the name of the Lord? Yahweh saves us. Oh, you know him so good as the salvation, the judge. What else? The king, the ruler. What else? The brother, the friend. I tell you, the entire scripture is his name. It's the word God. Do you know the word God of God so well? Unfortunately not. Well, then you don't know his name. Many people know, yes, I know the Lord. The Lord doesn't have anything new to tell me. What? How presumptuous. You know the Lord. He has nothing new to tell you. A short while ago, I heard something. Someone told me he listened to a fellowship where the people were saying and preaching. Yes, if you hear something new of the scripture, you have to walk away. And they're using Timothy. Flee. You have to flee. Paul says, flee from all evil things, not from the word of God. Do you think the Lord has nothing new to tell you? Even the world does and does advanced training, especially the Germans. They have this saying, you never stop learning. But spiritually, you've already completed your learning process. You know everything, huh? Therefore, we must have our focus on Christ. His riches are unexplorable. Call upon me and I will show you great and unbelievable things which you haven't, which you didn't know. Do you think we, with our narrow mind, we can know God completely, all the things that are hidden in Him? No, dear brothers, no. Let us be humble in front of the Lord. I have the desire for more. Did Paul not show us as an example? Not that I have obtained it. This word alone needs to show us we do not know everything. Earlier, when I was young, and I read the Bible, Paul, what? You do not know everything? And then I heard from my elder brother about 50 years ago, 40 years ago. Everything in the Bible I already knew, I already know, and I've seen it. And there is nothing new that I haven't seen yet. Then I thought, oh my. No wonder he became a god. At the end, he was teaching that he became a god. Oh Lord, we need eternity to see this wonderful God. We don't even know everything that He has created. Do you know the universe verse? Do you know everything that's in Switzerland? Holland? No. Even this small country, Switzerland, you don't know everything there. How can you know this big God? How big is your head? Oh, it's very small. It's a German word for like a cute word for a head, Köpfchen. It's how big is your head? It's very small. Such a joke, I tell you. If I hear things like that, my heart breaks. I'm sorry. It hurts me very much, very deeply. Those are saints, brothers and sisters that I know. So praise the Lord. We have to put our hope of glory in front of our eyes at all times. If I don't want to be there, if anyone misses this goal, it will be outer darkness, gnagging of teeth. You have to go through the fire and even much more. Be chopped into pieces, says the Lord. A servant who knows and doesn't do what the Father wants him to do, what the Lord wants him to do, he will get more heaps than one who didn't do it because he didn't know it. Be smart, be clever, be sober today. Cooperate with the Lord. Do not think the Lord will do everything for me. No, no. If it was that easy, think of the 10 virgins. Did they all make it? Did they all enter in? Only the wise ones entered in. Who are the wise ones? They are the sober ones in their mind, in their thinking. Who are the foolish ones? The ones who are like, oh, I don't need to do anything. The Lord will do it for me. That's foolish. That's foolishness. We have to put our entire hope. Resting our hope fully. And we have to make use of the grace to reach this goal, because the grace will train us. It doesn't just make us free to like not pay anything or anything. That's beautiful. Everybody wants to have something for free. As a child, yes, but now you don't get so many more things, many things for free anymore. You have to earn them, right? As a child, we get everything for free. So wonderful. But now, right, Maloro, do you still get everything for free? You have to earn it. No. The opposite of we've gotten old and mature, the more we have to work to earn it. I'm very thankful that the Lord today again speaks such a sober but important word to us. I only know that I don't know anything compared to all. I know nothing. And I thank the Lord that He shows us that we can gain Him every day. It's truly wonderful. Lord Jesus, thank you for such a word. Thank you, Lord. We all need this. The reward, do not think the reward will be so small. This inheritance, what Peter was speaking about, also Marcus, this wonderful, uncorruptible, wonderful inheritance. It's so big you cannot even today imagine it. You can't imagine what an inheritance we have. It's so big. And if we miss this, oh, Lord Jesus, then they will truly be crying, not just in the daytime, but the whole time, every day, you'll be crying. Oh, Lord, open our eyes. And this wonderful reward is our wonderful inheritance. We will receive it when the Lord comes back. It is kept safe. And remember what Paul said in Galatians, that an heir, if he's still a baby, he's no different from a slave, because he cannot inherit. He cannot treasure it. If I give a child something so expensive, he would just gobble it up with his mouth and or destroy it, and the kid might even get sick. Imagine you give your baby a diamond which is worth $20,000 and he just puts it in his mouth and swallows it. Then you have a problem. this inheritance, wonderful, is kept safe. If it wasn't kept safe there for you, but the Lord would give it to you now, you would waste it, I'm telling you. You couldn't treasure it. You will abuse it. Already the teaching that the Lord has given us, you already abused it. The truth that the Lord has given to us today, we already abused it and used it for our own purposes. His work turns into my work. And his church turns into my church, my church. I am now the head of the church. At the end, you become a pope. You're a cardinal. You become a bishop. At the end, everything belongs to you. And everyone needs to listen to you, not to Christ. Do we today not have abused what the Lord has already put into our trust? Is the word too difficult? What I'm speaking to you now? Or is it our history, what we experienced ourselves? Or do you only want to hear nice teachings? What good is it to you if it's just a nice teaching, a good teaching? Do you not have fear of the word of God? It's not the word of people or man, it's the word of God. That's why we mustn't change anything according to what suits us, but we need to adjust to Him, to become like Him. We are so corrupted, unfortunately. Children of obedience, point D. I treasure the word. I experience this. For being astray. Abraham, when he went to Canaan, he lived in a tent because he recognized, because this was not the reality of the good land. But Abraham, our father of faith, he looks upon the city of God, the heavenly city, and the scribe of Hebrews shows us clearly, we do not have a city here on this earth. So where are you seated? Where are you staying? So where should we spend our time on this earth now? You need to not just have fear of burning in hell. The people here, they don't even believe in hell. But to fear God is not that we have a fear of being whipped, but it's an it has something to do with respect. You fear Him out of respect. He is God. If you stand in front of the Chancellor, how will you appear there? In your PJs? In your pajama? You will go and buy a new suit, right? As before a wedding. But if you appear in front of the Lord in Zion, how do you appear? How do we appear? Do we have respect, fear out of respect? Or do we appear like a clown? Do we make jokes? We appear in front of the king. Nobody is going to tell jokes, or no one's telling jokes in front of the throne in Revelation chapter 4. The angel's there. Read it. Have a look. Read Revelations. They are all in white garments. Righteousness. They have respect for this wonderful God. And they all have laid their crown aside. We? We behave as if the Lord wasn't even there, because we do not see Him. But we do not see Him with our physical eyes. We see with the eyes of our hearts. If your eyes are not opened and you don't see Him, then in the meeting, before and after, it's completely different. And then in your personal life, you behave completely different because you don't live in front of His, in front of the Lord. Paul says he does everything in the presence of the Lord. But if you see the Lord standing next to you, you surely will behave like a holy angel. That's how it is. We need this respect, the fear of respect, out of respect. I enjoy this word, the German, Ehrfurcht. Because the fear of God means we honor Him. It's how it's translated from German, fear of honor. He's the mighty God who everything belongs to, who saved us, who even paid such a high price. Do you treasure the salvation? Or you just, oh, praise the Lord, I'm saved. Like it's such a cheap thing. You know, if a thing is so cheap for you, you cannot treasure it. You know how, what a treasure the salvation is, what a price our God paid. To always have a fresh appreciation for our redemption. Having always a fresh appreciation of our redemption. We are not, or no longer our own. But we do not have this awareness. You still think you're your own person. You belong to yourself. You can do what you want to. You can say what you want to. In His house, perhaps in your house I don't have anything to say, but in the church, in the house of God, I'm sorry, this is not your house. This is the house of the living God. That's why Timothy said that you know how to behave in the house of the living God. It's the secret of godliness revealed in the flesh. But we behave ourselves as if it was our own house. And we say we know God. We have fear of God. Where is this respect for God? If you sin, oh, I take the blood and forget about it. You walk away. You don't repent. you don't regret it. You don't have the feeling for it being so evil. You just, oh, I have the blood. Praise the Lord. The precious blood. How precious? We can sing this precious blood, but in your experience, in my experience, how precious is it? I want to tell you, as Paul said, the toll of sin is death. Who sins must die. If you break the law, you have to be locked up. It's a punishment. But the Lord forgives because He has poured out His precious blood. He paid a high price that nobody can pay. And we take it so normal. It's us, just a normal thing. Without any inner emotion of regret, acknowledging our mistakes. And we say we treasure it. Paul said to the Corinthians, I have painted Christ so living at the cross in front of your eyes, who bewitched you. You turned away so quickly, distracted, and believe in so many different things, and you do not repent. When was the last time you repented in front of the Lord? When was the last time that you did true repentance in front of the Lord for your sins? And then you say, oh, I'm uncertain. I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't know. What do you mean you didn't know? You do not want to know. You're not of a sound mind. You're not sober. That's why you didn't know. Who doesn't repent will not receive forgiveness. That's what John says. Oh, I didn't do mistake, so that's not my mistake. Then you lie. The truth is not in you. We always try to cover up our mind, our conscience. But if we confess our sins and repent, God is willing to wash all sins away, to cleanse us, to heal us. But if we do not repent and turn around, repenting means to turn around, not just to say, I'm sorry, no. Repenting means you have to do that. Turn around. Else it's no repenting. Therefore, the precious blood, the salvation which the Lord has created at the cross. Sometimes we have to see so clear how the Lord has suffered at the cross as an example for us to follow. His suffering, and we are not even prepared to suffer at all. Yes, Lord. Therefore, I just wrote down these few points. God, who already knew that Adam and Eve will be brought to the fall, will be betrayed by, cheated by Satan, and the sin will come into them. and the fall will be so terrible. Horrible. Horrifying. This fall of man. Look at the entire world. If we today look at this world and we do not have an inner emotion of suffering, like Noah at his time. Today, if you see all this and you can still sleep well, then I think you have no feeling inside your heart anymore. But God already calculated before founding of the world through his pre-knowledge, he already prepared the lamb. The lamb that God prepared was not a emergency solution. An emergency solution is, I don't know what will happen, and now something happened, now I have to find a solution for it. The lamb was not an emergency solution or solution. It was already calculated even before the founding of the world. What a wonderful God do we have. Everything is prepared. And then at the founding of the world, God already sacrificed. Do you think the Lord was only crucified 2,000 years ago? No, the Bible says, with God, everything has already been sacrificed, only revealed at its time. And how do you appreciate this? Do you think this is so easy? You just take it easy. Praise the Lord for the blood. It's natural. It's normal. If you do not know how you need to treasure this lamb, what he has done at the cross and his resurrection and is now sitting at the on the throne, then you underestimate the hope of glory which is to come. Well, the time is up. So are you prepared to give your cooperation to the Lord? Amen. I hope it was not just a message. It should be an achievement, not a message. Make this message to your achievement. That's a similar word in German. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your patience. We will see us tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we want to learn such obedience, to do everything that you tell us, to be children of obedience, that if you speak one time, we already follow you. Thank you, Lord, we give you our cooperation newly tonight. We do not want to be shaken in our heart wavering in our heart, but stand steady, steadfast, with the hope of our faith. We place this new focus, or place our focus newly. You will come soon, and we want to be with you when you come. Thank you, Lord, for your speaking tonight. Lord, we do not want to miss the goal. Thank you, you have showed us how precious and how important your blood is. Your salvation work, your work of salvation, everything you have set us free from. We want to thank you tonight. We praise you that you have given us so much light this evening. Lord, we give you our cooperation. Thank you, Lord. Give us all such a new appreciation for the salvation that you have created for us. We do not want to take the blood so loosely or easily, but we want to turn around and repent. We want to take your path or your ways seriously. Pray for this fear of respect, out of respect. Teach us this in this last time. I newly enjoyed this week the precious blood of the Lord and the verse in John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And it was so wonderful to think this through the day of work and to tell the Lord, oh, here I treated someone wrong, or here this I didn't do out of a good heart. And the Lord really listened to this prayer and to this speaking to him, and he gave peace. It was a Feast of Atonement. Lord, cleanse us from all sickness of unobedience. We want to learn to be obedient like you were obedient, Lord. We ask of you a new heart which enjoys to obey, that does not live in its own will. Lord, we pray for our brothers, family, that you bring them together. Amen. Lord, you prayed that the Father may keep us from the evil. Lord, we ask of you that you transform our fleshly desires, that we may have our desire in you, that we may not be drawn away from our fleshly lusts, or be, yeah, help us to crucify our flesh through your Spirit. You are the truth. The Word is the truth. You are called the Word. Thank you. You heal us and holy, make us holy through your Word. If we believe it and if we do it, give us this grace that we may grow into the sphere in the fear of God, and we may get to know the Father. You are full of mercy. Father, you've sent your Son into the world that your light may chase away all darkness. Wherever your light is, there cannot be any darkness. fill our needs because you know them better than we do. Give us praise for you at all times, that we do not fill ourselves with other things, but fill us with you. Give us this heart which seeks you all time. Thank you, Father, for your speaking tonight. Thank you for your light which you have given to us all in your word. Lord, we give us for this wonderful inheritance. What all that you have given us, we want to grasp it completely. We give ourselves for this. I thank the Lord for this word. Since we have spoken about Hebrews, I brought the word to the Father about suffering and problems and all of this, these matters. And I have to say the Lord is faithful, and we have to understand that the Lord has so much in us to burn away. I speak for myself. I have no idea what all the things that are inside of me. So therefore, there's so much that the Lord needs to burn. Because everything that is precious and valuable needs to go through the fire, that everything from this earth will be burnt and be gone. And when Peter, I think he probably didn't know that the devil could speak through him to the Lord. And I think this gives me a fear. And I have to say, Lord, shine your light into my entire being and burn in me everything which is earthly, which is from myself. Everything which is from me is so dangerous. And I thank the Lord that we now can come to the Lord and tell him, Lord, shine upon me. And if problems and troubles come, we can come to the Lord, and not just with the attitude, Lord, bring a solution so everything will be good again. But no, Lord, burn in me everything that needs to burn, that I become so precious for you, and that your nature in me is the only thing that will stay until the day that you come. And I truly have to thank the Lord. His light is wonderful. And there, if there are tribulations, trials, we have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, burn in me. No matter what the solution is, if it goes, it turns to be something which better or worse afterwards, is not the point. Burn in me everything which is. Lord, we give you our cooperation. Thank you, Lord. Give us all such a new appreciation for the salvation that you have created for us. We do not want to take the blood so loosely or easily, but we want to turn around and repent. We want to take your path or your ways seriously. Pray for this fear of respect out of respect. Teach us this in this last time. I newly enjoyed this week the precious blood of the Lord and the verse in John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And it was so wonderful to think this through the day of work and to tell the Lord, oh, here I treated someone wrong, or here this I didn't do out of a good heart. And the Lord really listened to this prayer and to this speaking to him, and he gave peace. It was a feast of atonement. Lord, cleanse us from all sickness of unobedience. We want to learn to be obedient like you were obedient, Lord. We ask of you a new heart which enjoys to obey, that does not live in its own will. Lord, we pray for our brothers, family, that you bring them together. Amen. Lord, you prayed that the Father may keep us from the evil. Lord, we ask of you that you transform our fleshly desires, that we may have our desire in you, that we may not be drawn away from our fleshly lusts or be... Yeah, help us to crucify our flesh through your Spirit. You are the truth. The Word is the truth. You are called the Word. Thank you, you heal us and holy, make us holy through your Word if we believe it and if we do it. Give us this grace that we may grow into the sphere in the fear of God, and we may get to know the Father. You are full of mercy. Father, you've sent your Son into the world that your light may chase away all darkness. Wherever your light is, there cannot be any darkness. Fill our needs because you know them better than we do. Give us praise for you at all times, that we do not fill ourselves with other things, but fill us with you. Give us this heart which seeks you all time. Thank you, Father, for your speaking tonight. Thank you for your light which you have given to us all in your Word. Lord, we give us for this wonderful inheritance. What all that you have given us, we want to grasp it completely. We give ourselves for this. I thank the Lord for this Word. Since we have spoken about Hebrews, I brought the Word to the Father about suffering and problems and all of this, these matters. And I have to say the Lord is faithful, and we have to understand that the Lord has so much in us to burn away. I speak for myself. I have no idea what all the things that are inside of me. So therefore, there's so much that the Lord needs to burn. Because everything that is precious and valuable needs to go through the fire, that everything from this earth will be burnt and be gone. And when Peter, I think he probably didn't know that the devil could speak through him to the Lord. And I think this gives me a fear. And I have to say, Lord, shine your light into my entire being and burn in me everything which is earthly, which is from myself. Everything which is from me is so dangerous. And I thank the Lord that we now can come to the Lord and tell him, Lord, shine upon me. And if problems and troubles come, we can come to the Lord, and not just with the attitude, Lord, bring a solution so everything will be good again. But no, Lord, burn in me everything that needs to burn. that I become so precious for you, and that your nature in me is the only thing that will stay until the day that you come. And I truly have to thank the Lord. His light is wonderful. And there, if there are tribulations, trials, we have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, burn in me, no matter what the solution is. If it goes, it turns to be something which better or worse afterwards, is not the point. Burn in me everything which is natural, from a natural man, from the earth, anything from the devil. And I'm very touched. There are many trials and problems, especially in this time, more and more we see this. But it's wonderful because the Lord now exposes what is truly in us. And I have to say, I'm just speaking about myself, I am dangerous. And I tell the Lord, keep me, cover me, cleanse me through your blood, because else tomorrow I will be a problem in your kingdom, in your church, in fellowship with the brother, with my wife, with my children. We are dangerous. At least I have to say, I am dangerous. Saints, we have to come to the Lord, come to the cross, and let the Lord burn everything in us which is not from Him. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord, please help us to the true repenting. It's your grace which guides us to repent. Be merciful to us.
Is English okay? Can I speak?
I can trust it.
Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12.
Titus 5, verse 11 and 12.
For the grace of God.